I believe, and it's been confirmed by others in my life, I'm a fairly optimistic person. I generally see the glass half full, at least. I might even scrunch it to 55% full. I guess I don't always, but it's my tendency to see the best. That's what, if the neighbor's dog is in our lawn doing business, I'm just happy that it's not a Great Dane. I told Cheryl that the other day. You know, so I'm always seeing, you know, there's a benefit. And times I go out, if the car won't start, I'm glad that the truck does. Or if only one tire is flat, I'm glad not four are flat. You know, that's just my general nature of things, to really see the positive, the optimist. I'm an optimist. And if I slip into pessimism, whatever, if that's the word, if I slip into the glass is half empty type of deal, it feels weird to me. It feels weird to begin to see things that the negative in things, or the what's the problem with things, and maybe so much so that maybe I'm even in denial at times that there are bad things out there, or there is something wrong with this situation. And I don't want to be that way. I want to be sensitive, but my desire is to see the best. And just in the last few weeks or even a few months, I've struggled with some of that. And I don't think I have seasonal depression. Maybe I do. I don't know. I never really think I do. But, you know, if you think I do, don't tell me, because then that might make me, you know, a pessimist. I don't know. But I've been aware of some very much of a challenges, not only in our lives and in my life, but in the lives of the world. And so I have had a question on my desk, basically, over the last few weeks, that I've been just really saying, God, what's going on here? And this is the question: what is wrong with our country? What in the world is wrong with this country? I don't know if you've noticed, for even the glass half full people are beginning to think, what in the world is wrong with our country? Amen. What is going on around here? And really, if you just kind of start interviewing people and start talking to people and start asking that question, there is no lack of an opinion of this world. And there's opinion. I was told at Men's Link, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has two, and they both stink. So it's opinions are plentiful. And opinions are what is wrong. And people will point to dysfunctional leadership. I agree. What at all levels? What is going on with our leadership? And I agree with that. I agree that we have dysfunctional leadership. And somebody said, well, do you want to do that? Maybe, I don't know. Do you think you could do a better job? That's not the question. I think a better job could be done. I don't know if I'm the guy or not, but I don't have to be the guy to understand that a better job can be done. People say dysfunctional leadership. And then we go into the inequalities. We got this gender inequality or economic inequality. That's what's wrong with our country. That's what's wrong with this country. Guns are wrong with this country. That's what's wrong with this country. And oh, there's big arguments out there. The cost of health care is what's wrong. I'm just reading off of what the internet told me was wrong with this country and what other people have told me in the past few weeks of what's wrong with this country. The rising cost of health care. COVID is what's wrong with this country. For crying out loud, can we get over that? And if I've offended you, please forgive me. You have to forgive me, the Bible says. Terrorism is what's wrong with this country. Federal budget's what's wrong with this country. Taxes are what's wrong with this country. Climate change is what's wrong with this country. I was appalled, just to be honest. I got to step over here for a minute. I was appalled that one of our leaders said that the greatest tragedy that's happened in the Ukraine is it's taken our attention off of climate control. For crying out loud, you need to resign today. climate control. Climate change, violent crimes, illegal immigration, racism, poverty and homelessness and drug addiction, and China's what's wrong with this country. Russia's what's wrong with this country. North Korea's what's wrong with this country. No, it's you Democrats. That's what's wrong with this country. No, it's you Republicans. That's what's wrong with this country. For crying out loud, you got some more opinions this morning? We can just spend the whole time here. At times, as there is many times, and many times this is true, the evidence is not really what's wrong with this country. It's only evidence of what's wrong with this country. It's only the symptom that's what's wrong with this country. So do I think there is racism in this country? You bet I do. Do you think we have dysfunction? You bet I do. Do you think there's gun violence? Yeah, you bet I do. Do you think that there is illegal immigration? Yes. Do I believe any of these things? Do I believe China is and Russia and North Korea have got evil intents? I do. I don't think that's what's wrong with this country. And I would not deny that any of those things are true, and I would not deny that any of those entities are quite harmful. But they are not what's wrong with this country. And just to be honest this morning, I know what's wrong with this country. You ask me if I want to be the president, do I want to be the governor, do I want to be something else? I don't want to be those things. I don't have to be those things to know what's wrong with our country. And I know what's wrong with our country, and I don't think that's an arrogant statement. I think it's an insightful statement. I think it's something that all of us would know. All of us know what's wrong with our country. But I don't know if our country has the wherewithal to fix it. And I wonder if our country can be fixed because not because of the leadership, not because of the dysfunctional leadership, because of the country. And I don't know if the country has the wherewithal to fix what is wrong with our country. Because it's radical. And we become so key and so keyed in on politically correctness and on the garbage that the world is trying to force down our throat, I'm not sure we're ready to really grab on to the solution of what's wrong with our country. To fix what's wrong with our country. Do I think it starts with the people sitting in this room? I do. Do I think it only includes the people in this room? I do not. Psalm 99, I think, is as I poured through that in the last few weeks, I think it gives evidence of what's wrong with our country. Psalm 99, verse 1 says, "The Lord reigns." The Lord reigns. Simple phrase, the Lord reigns, the Lord is in control, God is in control. He's not only present, but he is reigning. We're not asking for his presence, because when his presence comes, the king comes. When his presence comes, his reign comes. He is reigning. He has not been voted off the island. He has not been pushed to the side. He still reigns. Our God reigns. And if we can't get that in our head, and in our soul, and in our mind, not only as a body of believers called New Life, but as a country, we're not going to get better. This country is not going to get better. Unless we begin to say, as a country, as a body, and as a country, our God reigns. He is in control. He knows what's going on. His presence doesn't force us out of his presence. And his reigning doesn't force us out of bad choices. God's not forcing us into a corner because he reigns. But we know he reigns. The scripture says he reigns. And we need to grab onto that truth before we move any further. That our God reigns. Putin doesn't reign. China doesn't reign. The United States does not reign. The kook in North Korea doesn't reign. Our God reigns. Our God is in control. Our God cannot be overthrown. Our God cannot be voted off the island. Our God, you can say, we're going to remove, how arrogant to think, we're going to remove one God, one nation under God, for crying out loud. What does that do? You can remove it. You think you're so arrogant or so ignorant that that removes the reigning of God over this country? Just because you stop saying it, say, oh, God said, oh, I hope they don't take that out of their pledges of allegiance. Because once they say it, once they don't say it, I don't get to reign anymore. Your God is not that weak. And our God reigns. But we're so arrogant or ignorant or a combination of the two that we think that we can tell God when to reign and when he doesn't reign. You need to get it, and I need to get it in my head, and this country needs to get it in their head, that God reigns, whether we like it or not, whether we grab on to him or not, whether we ask for him to reign or not, our God reigns. We waste countless hours trying to figure it out without God. And because God reigns, look at the rest of verse 1. Push it back. The Lord reigns. Here's the result of that. Let the nations tremble. The only thing that makes sense for a nation when they come to the realization that God reigns is to tremble. You know what tremble means? To shake from strong emotion. Normally awe or fear. Our God reigns, and we should tremble. We should tremble that our God reigns. We should shake with strong emotion. We should shake with awe. We should shake with fear. For those who decide to partner with God, we should shake with awe. Those who decide to try to go against God should shake with fear. I'm talking shaking in your boots fear, because God reigns. So know what I think is wrong with this country? We got no tremble. We have no tremble. When was the last time that you just reminded yourself of something that God does and just trembled? We think we can give God the finger. Do you realize who he is? Do you realize what he could do? Do you realize that 20, 30,000 years ago, God said, let there be light, and there was light? Do you realize that when the nation of Israel was up against the Red Sea and God divided the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land? Do you realize that that was our God? When we stop thinking he's an Old Testament God and he did those things, he's still reigning. It should produce a tremble in us. And our nation has lost its tremble, has lost its awe of God. If it hasn't lost its awe of God, it's lost its fear of God. You think this country thinks they can give God the finger and he's okay with that. He's not okay with that. We have no tremble. I got to admit, I did slip into Johnny Cash a few times. Were you there? Right? He causes me to tremble. I found myself listening to that over and over. Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? And just the thought causes me to tremble. The Carter sisters. When was the last time we just trembled before God? Church, let it begin with us. The scriptures go on. In verse 2, it says this, great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Verse 2 talks about two very important things, the greatness and the supremacy of God. Just so you know, the God that's reigning is great and supreme. The God who is reigning is sovereign. The God who reigns is over all the nations. Oh, one day every knee will bow. And one day every tongue will confess. And one day the heavens will open up. And one day fire will come from heaven and consume all those that are against God. One day, but that God reigns today. That God is ready to reign over and supply the nations with himself. God is without limit. Isaiah 40 says it this way. Isaiah says it this way. Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as a counselor? The answer to these questions are no one! Because our God is sovereign. Because our God is supreme. Because there is no one above our God. And we've lost our tremble. Who did the Lord consult to enlighten him? Who taught him the right way? No one. Who was it that taught him knowledge and or showed him the path of understanding? No one. Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. God weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Isaiah is just trying to wrap his brain around how big and how great and how mighty is God. Look at he says, to whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, you're going to get some guys together and oh, they're going to get some gold and they're going to melt it up and they're going to overlay it with some stuff and they're going to create this thing and they're going to say, this is God. You've got to be kidding me. You have no idea how big God is. Do you think you can create an image of him? Don't lower God to your standard, is what he's saying. Oh, then he goes on with this. He says, on the man too poor? Oh, I don't have any gold. He goes out and gets a piece of wood that he doesn't think will rot, whittles it into something, says, there's God. You've got to be kidding me, Isaiah said. You have no idea how great our God is. You have no idea how supreme our God is. You have no idea that our God is sovereign. You have no idea that our God sits over the nations. You think you can whittle a stick? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it been not told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? Have you not understood this? The next slide is this. Have you not understood this? God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And his people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princesses to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. Be careful, Mr. Putin. Get out of Ukraine. Get your finger off the nuclear button. You do not reign. Our God reigns. Mr. President, get back in the White House and start leading this country. Start listening to God. Here's the action that follows that in verse 3. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The praise of God is the acknowledging that his name and his works and his benefits. In Psalm 150, verse 6 says this, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We have lost our praise. We have lost our tremble. We have lost our praise. You know what's wrong with this country? We have no praise. And why do we have no praise? Because we think our God is some whittled up stick with gold spread over it. We think our God is made out of paper and has pictures of dead presidents on it. We think our God is the things that I can accumulate in this earth. Will you stop thinking they're God? Will you stop doing things, he says, that will point you toward something that's not God? Will you begin to praise God? Our nation needs to tremble before God. Our nation needs to praise God. And I know that it needs to start with the church. Verse 4 says this. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob, you have done what is right and just. Verse 4 opens up this box of this powerful truth that our God is the King. And that our King is mighty. And that our King loves justice. And our King has established equity. Will we just stop? God's already got equity out there. I hear that word a lot. God's already established that. We just need to listen to our God. Man-made equity is not worth it. God's already established it. He is the King who is mighty. He is the King who loves justice. He is the King who has established equity. He is the supreme leadership. He is the mighty leadership. He is the just leadership. And he is the fair leadership. And as a nation, we work hard to eliminate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords from every place of influence. It's not working. We need to stop doing what's not working. Verse 5 gives us a twofold response to knowing that God is King, that the King is mighty, that the King loves justice, that the King has established equity, that there is superior leadership waiting to lead. There's a mighty leadership waiting to lead. There's a just leadership waiting to lead. And there's a fair leadership waiting to lead. He's not going to force us. But as we stand and tremble, as we stand and praise, we will begin to see the glory of God manifest among us. And we'll see what God's going to do in and through us. And he says, verse 5, you need to exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Exalt means to raise high, to place in high regard, to look at steadily and attentively. We've lost our exaltation of God. We have no exalt of God. The problem with our country is we have no exaltation. Are you with me this morning? I struggled with the word to put there. I had attentiveness there. I had regard there. I had look. I had focus there. We've lost our focus on God. We've lost our tremble. We've lost our praise. We've lost our exaltation, our focus. And the second one in that verse 5 is this. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstep. He is holy. Worship is this, to fall face down, resulting from a heart of devotion and allegiance. We've lost our worship. We are not falling down in devotion to God. And just so you know, the Israelites tried that for several hundred years. Read the book of Judges. Just so you know, that's already been tried, and it does not work. We need to fall down in devotion and allegiance to God. Wouldn't that be amazing if we just had a leader, maybe even me here, but in our nation, just calling it out and laying before the Lord. I know the news media would crucify, but can you imagine what God would do? Who gives a rat's behind about the media? Can I say that? Can I say rat's behind? I don't know if I get it out. Etch it from the recording if I can't. Who cares? Who cares? Can you imagine? We've lost our worship. We've lost our focus. We've lost our praise because we've lost our tremble. Verses 6 and 7 says, as Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name, they called on the Lord and he answered them. Whew. Just so you know, this ties it all back into the way God interacts with humanity. God spoke to some of the leaders in the Bible, and it says, and he spoke to them and they followed him. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. And they kept his statutes and his decrees that he gave them. They walked in obedience to what God said. God said it and they walked it out. We know in Deuteronomy 6:3, it says, hear, O Israel, or the word there is Shema. Hear, do. It's all one word, hear, do. Because if you're not doing, you ain't hearing. That's what it's saying. It doesn't say hear, then decide whether you're going to do. In that verse, it says hear, do. If you're hearing it, you're doing it. They heard from God, and they walked it out. And they heard, and they walked, and they heard, and they walked, and they cried out. And they heard it, and they walked it out. You know the problem with our country is? We have no obedience. We have no obedience. I know it begins with the church. So if you know the Bible says something and you're not doing it, I would suggest you get on your horse and start riding. Let it begin with the church. Will there still be poverty? Will there still be racism? Will there still be dysfunctional leaders? Perhaps. But a nation that trembles before God, a nation that praises God, a nation that has its focus on God, the nation that worships God, the nation that finds itself in obedience to God, the nation that finds themselves crying out to God and doing what God says or not doing what he says not to do. Can you imagine what this nation would look like? Verse 8 says this, O Lord our God, you answered you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, even though you punished their misdeeds. Just so we know, God is a gracious God, but he's a just God. You can expect. You're going to walk against God, you can expect opposition from God. You think opposition from Satan is hard? That's a walk in the park compared to opposition against God. But you don't have to stay there. Because he said he forgave the nation. He forgave. God is rich in forgiveness. You know what's wrong with our country? We have no forgiveness. You know why we have no forgiveness? Because we don't repent. And why don't we repent? Because we don't tremble before our God. And we don't praise. And we don't worship. And we've lost our focus. And we're not obedient. And we have no forgiveness. And we're walking around with sin buried on us. Can you imagine? Just pick one sin. Just one sin. And everyone in this country would stop doing that one thing. Can you imagine? Just for 1 year. I'm going to stop. All gossip stops for 1 year. Can you imagine the difference in this country? I am going to stop oppressing someone else, and I'm going to help someone else rise up. Can you imagine 1 year of that in this country? Amen. What that would do to this country. We need to repent. We need to receive his forgiveness. Let me finish with verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Just so you know, that's the third time it has said holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy means this, separated and no darkness. Separated from all and no darkness in him. God is holy. He is not influenced. He is not influenced. He is not tainted. He is not limited by the evils of this world. So all direction, listen, New Lifers, I'm going to finish real quick. So all direction that comes from God is life. You know what's wrong with our country? We got no life. Amen. We're dying. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if a nation, push the button, if a nation did this, can you imagine if we trembled, if we praised, if we exalted or focused, if we worshiped, if we were obedient, if we received forgiveness and we received life? Can you imagine the difference in this country? Can you imagine if 330 million people fell on their knees when Russia headed toward Ukraine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if 300 million people fell on their knees before God and sought him to defeat drug addiction in people's lives? Can you imagine what would happen? Starts with us. I know that. Your faith is very personal, but it's not private. You need to live your faith. Because the only thing that's going to heal our country is people who tremble, people who praise, people who exalt God, people who worship, people who are obedient to God, people who repent and receive forgiveness, and people that have life. Stand with me today. God, I received a text just before I come up here that the Europe thing is not going real well. I received a text that there's threatening of more big scale violence. And Lord, I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm here just as one guy. I'm a guy in East Freedom. I'm just a guy. I got a flannel shirt on, for crying out loud, God. I've got blue jeans on. I've got shoes I bought at the secondhand store. My beard needs to be trimmed. But I'm your son. And I'm asking that you would stop what's happening in Ukraine. I'm asking for our country to rise up. The church has the lead, no doubt. I'm asking that you would revive us again, God. God, I'm asking that we would become a people who tremble before our God. I'm asking for that we would be a people who would praise you, God, who would be obedient to you, God, who would worship you, God, who would realize our God reigns. I'm asking that we would be a nation and a people that would repent and we would receive forgiveness. And I'm asking that we would know that you are holy, holy, holy God. And everything you want to pour into us is life. In you is no darkness. So God, I'm asking that you start with us. But I'm asking not just for this room. I'm asking for this country. I'm an optimist, God. I think it's going to happen. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for Psalm 99. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of everyone that's here, everyone that's on TV. And Jesus, I know that you said you haven't asked anything in my name yet, but you're going to do that because you are the mediator. So Jesus, I know that it's because of you and my faith in you that I can approach the Father. And it's because of the Holy Spirit in me that I can even know enough to approach the Father. So thank you, Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Jesus, the Son of the living God. And thank you, Father, for hearing us this morning. May what's been started here today not be able to be stopped, because your people will not stop. In Jesus' name, amen.